Thank you, Jeff. We're going to take a break from the Gospel according to Luke, and we'll pick that study up after the Christmas season. But today, I ask you to turn to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah the 9th chapter. During the Christmas season, we're going to be unwrapping God's greatest gift. Isaiah, the 9th chapter. And we'll begin in the 6th verse. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we ask that you would take now this time. Father, that you would touch our hearts. In this room, Father, there are all kinds of needs. I pray, Father, that you would meet each of us at our point of need, and Father, draw us closer to you. Make this a time where we truly understand the great gift you've given. In Jesus' name, amen. It's Christmas season, and how many of you got your trees up already? Look at this. Wow. You're all decorated up, got everything in place, and I'm sure you got all your Christmas presents bought, wrapped, and they're under the tree, or at least you've thought about doing that someday. But God has been thinking about Christmas for a long time, and God has wrapped up his greatest gift for us, and we're going to be examining that in these Sundays through Christmas. All the Old Testament prophets pointed in one way or another to God's greatest gift, our Lord Jesus. Nobody did it more clearly than did the prophet Isaiah. When you read Isaiah, it just kind of seems like he had already read the New Testament. You know why that is? The same God that transcribed the New Testament told Isaiah what to write. And so he writes in such a way that you understand that he understood the four Gospels. Isaiah makes beautiful predictions about the coming Messiah. He wraps up all that is God's greatest gift in one little verse, Isaiah 9:6. In this verse, we have the fact that God's going to give us a gift of humanity. Unto us, a child is born. And God's going to give us a gift of deity. Unto us, a son is given. Then there are five separate gifts wrapped up in one. Jesus is that five and one. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. In these five titles or gifts, we find the real meaning of Christmas. His name shall be called Wonderful. Jesus is the Christ of the cradle. We come to this time of year and we think of the babe in the manger, and that's what we sing about, and that's the vision that we have in our mind, the shepherds coming and the stars shining, and it's a great thing to think that God put all that together as a gift for us. In John 1:3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus was part of the creation process. Yet when Jesus was born, he that was creative became the created one. Jesus, with no beginning and no end, stepped out of eternity and into time. What can you call that but wonderful? Wonderful means unique, extraordinary. Yes, the gift God gives is unique and extraordinary. It carries the impact of a true miracle. This is the This is the mystery about the Lord's birth. In 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." When Jesus was born, the infinite became the infant. The creator, the creature. God came to a cradle. His name? Wonderful. The birth of Jesus was unique. He was virgin born. Now you're going to hear a lot about this through the Christmas season, as well you should. It is absolutely essential that Jesus be virgin born. If he were not, he would not be the Messiah, because the prophecies of the scripture tell us that he would be virgin born. You see, for him to be a perfect sacrifice, he had to be born without a sin nature. Had he had an earthly father, he would have had a sin nature. And with a sin nature, he would have sinned. And had he sinned even once, he could not have been a perfect sacrifice. Our sins could not be forgiven. And we would all be doomed to an eternal hell. Jesus was the only one to ever be born with an earthly mother, but no earthly father. A heavenly father, but not a heavenly mother. Virgin born. What do you call that? Wonderful. There's wonder in the fact that God was willing to come to his stable. God in his throne in heaven, surrounded by all the glory of the angels, came down to a stall. I've been there. The place that they believe that Jesus was born, it is a stable. The place where Jesus laid was just a feeding trough. Almighty God was willing to humble himself to a humble Jewish family, to be despised and rejected of men, scourged, hung on a cruel cross for you and me. Oh, that he would come is wonderful. And then as we unwrap the gift a little more, his name shall be called Counselor. We live in the day of the counselor and counsel. We live in the day of the psychiatrist and the psychologist. Jesus is the counselor you need. I understand there are times you need more advice and there are times you might need medical assistance. But listen, if you don't have Jesus as your counselor, you're going to miss out. If you don't have Jesus directing your life and taking you through the great difficulties that you face, you're not going to get through them in a profitable manner. He's the only one that can deal with the greatest needs of your life. He's the only one that knows really the hurts that you're facing. How hard it is, how hurtful it was, and he can lead you through. He came and talked to all kinds of people. Nicodemus talked with Jesus. Jesus said that the answer for Nicodemus was he must be born again. Peter came. He was Simon at the time, and Jesus changed his name to make him profitable as Simon Peter. He spoke to a woman at the well. She had been ostracized by the entire community, but she came and Jesus spoke to her, changed her life so much, she was able to go back, talk to the entire city, and bring them all out to meet Jesus. One who had been ostracized now was the one that introduced them to Jesus. In Psalms, we find, "You shall guide me with your counsel." When Jesus met Zacchaeus, he was up a tree. Jesus had to literally talk him down, and he talked him down and he changed his life. This man had just been a taker. He became a giver. As a counselor, he's a great communicator. Soldiers came at one time to arrest Jesus. Jesus identified himself. When he did, they fell to the ground. They couldn't arrest him. They went away. When they came back to their superiors, they were asked why they didn't bring him. And they just said, "Nobody ever talked like this man." Jesus was a marvel in how he could communicate and how his words could penetrate the, the heart. No one's ever spoken like Jesus. His words can change your heart. His words can calm a storm. In fact, in this room, we have many of you that are going through storms. It's Jesus that can meet you there. It's Jesus that understands what you can't share, and it's Jesus that can take you through. He is the great counsel. His counsel can give you life. His name shall be called Mighty God. Mighty means a hero, warrior, one who's faced a great battle. Well, this great gift of God is certainly that. This one statement shakes us up. It takes us from the cradle, so sweet, such a precious, serene setting, to the cross. You can't get the true gift of Christmas if you stop in Bethlehem. God did not send his son to fill a manger. God sent his son to save a world. God sent his son to make a way for you to know him. The cross was a place of battle. Think of what happened to Jesus on the way to the cross. He was scourged with a whip. They took a flagellum, at least nine pieces of leather hanging from a handle with pieces of metal and other objects, rocks and things sewn into it, so that when it took and was wrapped around the body and jerked back, it would bring skin with it. It's no wonder that when the psalmist foretold, it said his back was plowed. Yes, Jesus would battle. The devil tempted Jesus to walk away from the cross. We recoil at pain. I do. Jesus was human, and that human side recoiled at pain. But he did not turn away. His flesh was torn. His blood was splattered. And yet he was willing. He was willing to be crucified. He was nailed to the cross. He had to work on that cross just to get a breath, to say his words. Your sins and mine poured through him. Jesus battled physically, and he battled spiritually. And he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? At that point, your sins and mine were pouring through Jesus as he was battling for us. And you know, there are many that would tell you that what a tragedy, Jesus lost, died on the cross. Well, that's a mistake. You know, it's amazing how people sometimes will pronounce a loser only to find out they were not. I don't know, I was told yesterday you can buy magazines now from Newsweek magazine that published copies of their magazine with the Madam President on it. And then the New Yorker filled the newsstands with a picture of President-elect Trump, except it had his picture, and across his face was the word loser. I don't know how many of those they've sold. Listen, many may have thought that Jesus suffered, bled, and died, and it was over and he lost, but he didn't lose. Jesus won a great victory on that cross. He is the mighty God. He won a victory over death. Death tried to chain him into the grave. When most die, they raise their head just to get that last breath. When Jesus died, the Bible tells us he lowered his head. He gave himself in death. Nobody took his life from him. Jesus said, "Into your hands I commend my spirit." When it comes to the time for a believer to die because of Jesus, that death by Jesus is just stepping into glory. That death becomes a Christmas gift, opening up all of heaven to the child of God. He is the mighty God. His name shall be the Everlasting Father. Here is a babe in a manger called an Everlasting Father. Actually, he becomes the Father of the Everlasting. He gives everlasting life, and if you have everlasting life, you are His forever and forever and forever. After Jesus suffered 6 hours, everyone proclaimed that He was dead. The Pharisees said that He was dead. The soldiers said that He was dead. Pilate said that He was dead. They never expected to see Jesus again. Oh, but 3 days later, there was an earthquake. The stone was rolled away. Jesus came forth alive for all time. He appeared to the disciples. He was alive. He appeared to over 500 at one time. He is alive. And you know what? He touched the heart of a 9-year-old boy in Gadsden, Alabama, changed my life forever. And because I've met Jesus, I can tell you He's alive. And many of you have that same testimony, and many of you could say the same thing. He's the eternal Father. Whenever you are, wherever you are, whatever you need, He's the Father to come to your aid. He's the Father to nurture you through. Listen, in this world, fathers have feet of clay. In this world, fathers make a lot of mistakes. You may not have had the best father. Oh, but my Lord God can fill that gap for you. He can comfort, He can care, and He can be your Father forever. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a blessing to know that He is alive. And that's not the end of the gifts. There's another one. He is the Prince of Peace. Jesus came to the manger, came through the cross, through the tomb, and one day He's coming again. He's the Prince of Peace. You know what the world really needs? The peace of God. The world longs for it. What do hearts need at Christmas? The peace of God. Do you know that more suicides happen the week of Christmas than any other time during the year? Do you know that the week following Christmas, more people visit and seek psychiatric help than any other time of the year? People are going through such stressful times. They are looking for peace. They want someone to comfort their hearts, but they're not looking to Jesus. For if they would look to Jesus, they would find that one that can give them peace. Listen, He brings peace for what you're facing today. I don't know what all of you are facing. Some of you have some real hardships. Some of you have medical difficulties. Some of you have personal difficulties. I'm going to tell you that I don't have the answers, but Jesus does. He can take you through. He can hold you up. He can make you stand when you want to crumble. He can brighten your day when you want to hide in a corner. Jesus is the one that can give you peace and a peace that will stand. This is the gift, the real gift that keeps on giving. This is a Christmas gift that's going to come back. Now, some of you will get Christmas gifts that you will take back. That's a different thing. This is a Christmas gift that's going to come back. You see, when Jesus ascended into the sky, the angels said He will come again as He went. He went literally, He will come back literally. He went physically, He will come back physically. He will come back in the eastern sky. It's going to happen. Could be today. What a glorious thing that would be. You wouldn't have to finish your Christmas shopping. We just go to Jesus. What a great thing that would be. He is going to come again. I don't know when, but you know that's okay. Because the Bible says when you least expect Him, that's when He's going to come. I can think of no time in history when people have thought less about Jesus than they think today. Certainly His coming can be soon. Soon and very soon. Jesus will come, and when He comes, the peace that He brings will reign. Now, listen, this world's going to get tough and there's going to be tough days and you're going to have hardships. I'm sorry, that's just going to happen. There are going to be problems. There are going to be difficulties. You're going to have them and you're going to have them and you're going to have them, and you may be having them now. There is one who will stand by you and be with you to get you through. His name is Jesus. Listen, people can stand by you as best they can, but you know, we can't really give you what you really need. What do you really need? You need one that has the answer. Who has the answer? Jesus. Jesus is willing and Jesus is able. You know, the thing that we all need is to be forgiven. There is only one who can give true forgiveness. That is Jesus. Wouldn't it be great to know that all the mess-ups you've had in life, all the horrors that you've brought onto yourself, all the mistakes, all the intentional evil that you've been involved in was absolutely wiped off the face of the world and was gone forever? Jesus can bring that peace. Jesus is the only one. Christmas is the story of how peace can come to your life and mine. It comes through the cradle. It comes into our lives. It comes through the cross. It comes through the grave. And one day he will come in the eastern sky. But today he wants to reign in your heart. The true gift of Christmas, the five in one, there's much more than that about Jesus. But all of that is unveiled for you the moment you open your heart to him. Now you may be here and you may be a Christian and you may be struggling and you may be saying, well, Brother Jerry, I know the Lord, but I'm having hard times. Jesus can meet you where you are. Jesus can hold you up, and Jesus can get you through. We need to place things in his hands. Now, if you've never invited Jesus to be your Savior, that's exactly what you need to do. You will never have a true Christmas. You'll never know what life is about until you are willing to open your heart up, let Jesus come in. We call that being saved. You're saved for an eternity. You're saved for heaven. You're saved from hell. It's a great thing. Your sins are forgiven, and Jesus becomes your Lord. If you would like that, all you have to do, it's so simple. Just walk down one of these aisles in a moment, come to me and say, I want Jesus. I can understand that. We will pray together. He'll come into your heart. He will perform a miracle of saving your soul this very day. Believer, you're in a moment of struggle. Maybe you just need to come to the altar and put things in his hands. He's the one that can handle it, whatever it is. You need to put Jesus first. Through Christmas season, we need to hold him up. But the truth is, we just need to lift up Jesus all the time. I hope you'll do that. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the message you've brought. We pray now, Father, that you would touch our hearts. In this room are some, Father, that have never given their heart to Jesus. If they were to die today, they don't know what would happen to them. And Father, you've brought them here so that they can know Jesus, so they can have your gift for all eternity. I pray that you'd give them the courage to step out, to walk forward, to just say they want Jesus. Father, I know there are hurting believers here. Meet them at their point of hurt. Some have physical needs, Father. I pray that you would carry them through this time. Some, Father, are hurting for other reasons, and I pray that you would give them wisdom. Give them the power to forgive others. And to give you the directorship of their heart and life. Move within us now. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing, would you come?